Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
I've been on staff here at Casper Faith for a little more than 2 years now, and as you all know, I just recently transitioned into the worship role here, and it's all very exciting and new and a lot to handle all at the same time. But I'm so excited for the season that God has us in here at Casper Faith. I'm excited for the next steps that he has for us. And I'm excited for this series that we're going through. Not because we have a cool graphic on the screen or because it was just a good idea. It was easy to work in several themes into this idea of grow. But for me, I think it's so important as a church that at least once a year, I'm going to knock that over if it's right there, at least once a year that we go back to the basics, that we return to what does it really mean to serve God? You know, if we've chosen this path, we've chosen this place of saying yes to Jesus, what does that really mean in simple terms? How can we boil that down to something that's digestible and applicable to our everyday lives? And that's what led us to going into this series called Grow. We want to give the body, ourselves included, because I know it's been challenging for myself and Pastor Craig as well as we've been in study, kind of back to the basics. We want to be able to grow in a way that makes sense to our everyday lives and know what's the most important stuff. Because I know for me, I can be an overanalyzer. Sometimes, you know, I can be thinking about all of these different things and how it applies and what am I doing to, you know, act that out in my everyday lives. And it can be really complicated in my brain. So like I said, it's important, I think, that as a body, we come back to the basics, a simple gospel. There's a song that I love right now by Will Reagan that says, I will rejoice in a simple gospel. That what we do, if we really look into it, it comes back to some simple things, what it means to follow God. And that's where we're at today. So we started talking about going. That was the first week. And then the second week, we talked about connecting. And then last week, we talked about serving. How do we serve as a church? And how does that help us grow? How, if we want to grow in our relationship with God, we need to be actively pursuing those things. And this week, as Pastor Craig mentioned, we're going to be talking about worship. We're going to be diving in and asking some tough questions like, is worship really a lifestyle? If you've come to church at any point in your life, you've probably heard somebody say something real Christianese along the lines of worship is a lifestyle. And that is so true. But when we start to really look into that, worship as a lifestyle, this is a massive and really convicting topic because our lives are complex. We have work lives, we have family lives, we have a gym life, some of us have a second job, some of us volunteer, we have different friend groups, we have our church life, and we really think about, I'm going to live my whole life, worship as a lifestyle. It's pretty convicting, and it's really challenging to think about, how can I bring everything, my everyday life, and present it to God? So we're going to be talking about that today. The other question we have is, if so, then do I really even need to sing along on Sunday morning? This is about worship as a lifestyle. My lifestyle is about worship, but I do not particularly enjoy singing. I love singing. I sing. Sometimes it's the very first thing I do in a day. I'm dead serious. I love to sing. You know, I'll get up. I'm singing in the morning. My mom is here. She can attest to that. I grew up singing all the time. Sometimes it's the first thing or the last thing I do before bed. I'm listening to music and I'm singing. I love to sing. But I know that that's not everybody's forte. Some people don't necessarily love to do that. So we come in, and in traditional American church culture, you can expect that there's going to be some singing. And as much as I love to sing, and I wish everybody loved to sing as much as I do, it begs the question, why? Where did that come from? Should we as a body actively take steps to do that, to join together Or is this just a suggestion? Is this just something I can do if I am feeling it that day? How does worship help me grow? That was the big thing for me in my study and my preparation. I worship, and there's lots of reasons why I worship. We're going to get into those today. But one of those main, really deep, tough questions is, how does this help me grow? I know that it's a good thing. I know that it's part of what we do as, you know, servants of God. But how does it help me grow? And I'm excited for it. So would you bow your heads with me as I just open in prayer? God, I give you today, this truly is all about you. God, we don't come together just for friendships. We don't come together for the lights or the music or any of those things. God, we come together because of you. So God, we just take a moment to focus ourselves on you this morning, asking that you would be glorified. God, I pray today, God, that you would convict us, that you would encourage us, and that you would show us these next steps and how to grow in becoming more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. If it's your first time with us today, I'm really excited you came today, because this is just as much for you as it is for any of our regular attenders. Because ultimately, and I don't want to get too ahead of myself this morning, but ultimately, worship isn't just an act, but I believe, like I said, it's a lens that we should strive to live our lives through. So if you want Christianity 101, if you're new to serving God, or maybe you're wrestling with some of those questions, do I even want to serve God? Do I want to proclaim him as my Lord? Do I want to obey him? This is going to be a really good indicator for you this morning on whether you're ready to take that step, because this is about as simple as it gets and truly is all about Jesus today. So like I said, it's been an incredible adventure already moving into this new position as worship pastor. I've been leading worship since probably the sixth grade. Some of you that have been involved with the Buffalo Church up a couple hours north of here, you saw me lead worship as a junior higher. So I started leading when I was like 14 or 15, and I'd played piano when I was younger. And like I said, I've always loved to sing. But again, I just keep mentioning my mama. I love you, Mom. I love you so much. But we've talked many times in my life before this current season about worship. And she has many times suggested, Josh, maybe you should be a worship pastor. I think that that's maybe something in the future for you that God has for you. And I was always like, no. No, that's not in my future, because to be a worship pastor means that you have to manage a team and you have to schedule people and you have to ask people to be involved. You have to ask people to be there at 7:45 in the morning on a Sunday morning like we were today to come in and rehearse. And I don't like to ask favors of people. So I don't think that's really for me. I'll just do my thing. I like to sing and perform, so I'll just do that. But I don't necessarily think I want to be a worship pastor. But it's been interesting over the last year. I would say last year, actually a year ago at the Women's Renewal, I was leading worship. And God began to really, I feel like, turn my heart to him in a way that he never has before in worship. And I started to connect with him in ways that I had never done before. I had to connect with him in a deeper level than I had never connected with him before. And something began to happen in my heart that I started to realize how essential it was for me to connect with God on that level. And the more I began to do that, the more I began to pour out my heart. I love that song today that says we pour out our praise, because for me, that's what it is. When I get in the presence of God, it is about everything inside of me being poured out to him, because I want to be empty of me and full of him. And it's not just about that selfless idea of worshiping, because I know that in turn, God fills me up. That's the other song we sing a lot here. It's one of my favorites, Fill Me Up. And it just says that over and over, fill me up, God, because that's who I want to be as a leader, as a follower of Christ. I want to be so empty of me and full of him that I can love the people in my life in a way that could only be God-ordained. I love that idea, though, that picture of pouring ourselves out. And I believe that is so much of what worship really is. being in a place where I have to wrestle between performance and singing and really worshiping, that has really brought me to this place to ask those tough questions, like I said. You know, many of you know my story. I love to perform. I'm a dancer. I'm an artist. And I love all of that. But it's brought me full circle to these questions of, okay, what is this really about then? If God's given me this gift to dance or to sing or whatever, then how am I going to really present this to him? How am I really going to live it out in a way that makes him the focus and not me? And so that's where we're at today. That's where this begins. So I want to really challenge all of you this morning to ask yourself those tough questions. Do you really know what it means to live a life of worship? And do you live that out? So that first question we're going to ask is, what is worship? Worship, according to Webster's Dictionary, I like to go back to the basics, is worship is to honor with extravagant love and extreme submission. So I think most of us would gather that from the word. We're familiar with what it means to worship. We come into a service, and most of the songs that we sing, they're about, you know, lifting God up, giving glory to his name. So worship is to honor with extravagant love and extreme submission. And while this certainly is a great way to sum up what worship is, I think in order for it to really sink into our hearts today, we need to take that next step, take the deeper look into it. So my key text this morning, one of my favorite verses, it's super famous, is in Romans 12:1. It says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." There's so much more than just singing a song in worship. It is so much more than that. It's so much more than, you know, pointing up at the sky after you win the race. We see athletes do that. It's so much more than just simply thanking God for your food at a meal. This is a grander spectrum that we are seeing here, a grander lens of really learning to live out that idea of being a living sacrifice. Me, my life, how I live, how I work, how I breathe, how I interact with other people. God, I want it to be a living sacrifice to you. In John 4:23 and 24, it says, "The hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." So I've heard this verse so much growing up, this idea of worshiping in spirit and truth. And this week, I really dug into it. What does that really mean? I feel like that's kind of like, it's like almost a cliche verse that we talk about in the church. You know, oh, the true worshipers, we worship in spirit and in truth. You know, like, but what does that really mean? When we look at the roots of those words, spirit and truth, it ultimately points to something on the inside, our inner life. John Piper, a theologian that I very much admire, says that spirit and truth is both heart and head, emotion and thought, spirit and truth. So our heart, what we feel, and our head, what we think about. So we're understanding what it means to worship in our head, and we're connecting with him in our hearts. It's emotion, it's feeling. That's why music is such a big part of it, because music is a beautiful thing that God gave us that can help us connect with God emotionally. And then it's also in thought, this idea of spirit and truth. We often equate worship with a specific act, like singing, or perhaps serving, or maybe it's bowing in reverence. But in the Bible, we see time and time again the importance of action coming from a place of inner understanding and then transformation. What I mean is that worship It begins first and foremost in our hearts and in our minds. And then as a result, it surfaces in our actions. And that is why we come back to the question, what is worship? How do we worship? And why do we worship? Because when we begin to understand that, we have that head connection. We have that truth connection of this is what it means, this is why it's a good idea, and so because of that, I'm going to choose to worship in my life. So why? Why should we worship? For me, it's this threefold understanding of why. One is this realization of his character. And if you're following along in your notes, that's a fill-in there for you. It's a realization of his character, who God is, what makes him so great, his omnipotence, his power, his creative authority, his spirit, how he speaks to us, how he shows us, how he longs to have relationship with us. That is the character of God. And when I just begin to think about who he is, about who God is, not even what he's done for me yet, just who he is, his greatness, that is a reason, first and foremost, of why to worship. So we start there, the realization of his character, who he is. Secondly, is a reaction to God's provision. As we know, we are in relationship with God. He is almighty, he is great, and he doesn't owe me a thing, but he chooses to have a relationship with me. And because of his character, he is my healer. He is my provider. He does love me in a way that fills me up. He does keep me safe. And that is just another huge reason to worship him. So like I said, it begins with that realization of who he is, and then it goes beyond that to reaction to his provision, to what he does for us, ultimately for what he did on the cross for us, giving us an opportunity to spend eternity with him, forgiveness of sins. When I really think about that, worship becomes a reaction to that. And thirdly, it's a response to his command. It's an act of obedience. And this is where it gets really challenging, especially on a Sunday morning. And I'm going to be talking about both today. What it means to worship God as a congregation. On Sunday morning, we come together. Worship is a big part of that. But also in our own lives, that it's a response to his command. That I worship because he asks me to. In Psalms 50, 14 and 15, it says, "Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and perform your vows to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." This is just one of tons of examples in the Bible, especially if we look at the Psalms, which are notoriously known, of course, to be a book about worship, really and truly. But God asks us to give him praise. God asks us to worship him. And so because of that, I'm committed to living a life of obedience, so I'm going to choose to respond to that command. So those are the whys, and that's the really condensed version. The realization of his character, the reaction to God's provision, and the response to his command. So then we move beyond that why and go to how. How do we worship? So I'm going to fly through this. This is that idea of being a living sacrifice. This means that you start to think of your life through that lens. Okay, I'm going to work today. How can I be a living sacrifice at work through this shift? How can I choose to worship God through my actions this morning? Coming home from work, kids are crazy, I'm tired. How can I choose to live my life in this moment through that lens, being a living sacrifice, worshiping God through my actions, my words, my thoughts? It's doing everything unto the Lord. And it also is worshiping together. We encounter God in a unique way when we connect together as a body. So it's all of those. It's this big thing, this idea of not just thinking about worship as a specific thing. It's not just an intentional act. It's not just singing. It's not just committing to God, you know, in a certain moment. It's so much bigger than that. And that is what makes it so challenging. When we begin to kind of step back from it and view our lives as a whole, as an opportunity to worship, that is where the challenge really comes into play. So where I'm going to spend the most time today is on this last question. How does worship help me grow? So we've talked a little bit about what it is and why and how to worship. But in this series called Grow, we ask that question. Okay, how is this going to help me grow? And first and foremost, worship connects us to the head. When me and Pastor were talking about kind of the overarching theme of this, what's one thing that really ties in super well to this whole grander series called Grow? It's that worship connects us to the head. We've been talking the past few weeks about growing and what it really means to be part of the body of Christ. So you might be wondering how worship fits into that. So, you know, we've talked about that scripture that talks about how we all have different giftings and we all make up this idea of the body of Christ. So how does worship fit into that? When we worship or pray, we are actively connecting with the King. Just as the body cannot function, like the human body, without staying connected to the head, we as believers cannot function without staying connected to our King. We as believers need to stay connected with the head, the body of Christ. We need to actively connect on an ongoing basis with Him. And worship is just one of the key ways that we do that. In John 15, 4 and 5, I love this scripture. Let it just sink into you today. It says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. I'm the vine, and you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." And I don't know about you, but I want to live a fruitful life. I don't want to just go through and do the bare minimum. I don't want to just survive the next year. I don't even want to just survive the next week of my life. I want to be producing fruit. I want to live full of joy. I want to live challenging the people around me. But I cannot do that outside of being connected to the head, being connected to the King. So that is the first way that worship helps us grow. It keeps us connected to the head. Secondly, worship shows us how to live. We can literally boil down how we live to the single statement that we've talked about already today: worshiping with our lives. We can live through that lens that no matter what we are doing, whether we're working or parenting or exercising or having fun, it all can be worship. In Colossians 3:23, I mentioned this earlier, whatever you do, it says, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. So worship shows us how to live. And I'm not going to spend that much time on it because we've basically already talked about it. So first, worship connects us to the head. Secondly, worship shows us how to live. And third, worship unifies us with other believers. It brings us together in one space, where we are united in our pursuit of God. And there is something that happens when you hear the people next to you singing along. I remember the very first day of the second time I went to college, just a few years ago. And the very first night of the semester, they had an all-campus worship time. And I had come from being in full-time ministry before that and decided I wanted to further my education. So I had, you know, been working in the church and in ministry already. And it was a complete reset for me. And I remember that first night, I had just met my roommates just a few hours before. And so we'd, you know, gone to the chapel. And there were several hundred students there, all just worshiping God. And I remember overhearing my roommate worshiping. I was just standing, you know, probably 5 or 6 feet away. We were in the back, and I like, you know, if I'm not worshiping on stage, I like to have room. You know, sometimes I'll even dance and stuff, you know, because it's about me pouring myself out to God. So I'm just in the back, I'm worshiping, I'm doing my thing. And I remember overhearing him singing out as well. And in my heart, I was just so encouraged by that. And then I was like, yeah, that's right. That's right. What you're saying, that's right. I'm going to sing that as well. I'm going to agree with you. And then it was just like this thing, like as a whole school deciding to come together and worship, it was contagious. Worship is contagious when we choose as a body, unified together, to go for it. And I'm not going to sit here and say that it's all about singing. It's not. It's not about clapping your hands. It's not about jumping around or coming forward or bowing or any of that stuff. Those are just symptoms of, again, what is happening on the inside. I heard a podcast just a couple of weeks ago that the guy had been leading worship for like 30 years, and the interviewer was asking him, what does the worship leader's role have on stage when it comes to being fully alive? You know, we see Hillsong and stuff, and those worship leaders, they're jumping around, they're dancing, you know, they have their own space or whatever. And then we see other people in a maybe a different worship band where they just kind of stay behind their instruments and they sing. So the guy was, you know, what's your, like, where do you fall on that? Like, what do you think about it? And he said, simply put, it's not about doing something specific. This is about realizing what I'm singing about and choosing to act it out. So he's like, if you're singing about the fact that God set you free, if you're singing about that he provided for you, if you're singing about his greatness, if we're celebrating the character of God, I would hope that that would cause something physically in your body to happen. The same way when somebody scores a touchdown, we all stand up. Yes, that's awesome. What? Yeah, that's great. I'm really big into obstacle course racing right now. I ran a race last weekend on Saturday before church that weekend. And so I'm into it, and I'm like following, you know, these different racers. So last night, you know, I'm sitting at home, and I was watching a race that was this crazy 10K, there were 20 obstacles, and, you know, I'm familiar enough with the sport now to know different racers. So they're going in, they're getting towards the finish line, and I'm like, yes, go, go! Like, my favorite female runner, her name is Lindsay Webster, and she was coming up from behind, she had made this big comeback, and I was like, you know, go! I'm, like, in my apartment by myself, and I'm expressing what is happening. And I was just thinking about that later on as I was getting ready for bed. I'm like, that came naturally for me. I was excited for what was happening, and my body physically responded to that excitement. And so I want to challenge you. Again, I'm not going to say, if you really mean it on Sunday morning, you better clap your hands, or I'm going to know that you're not really worshiping. Or I take out one of my in-ear monitors so that I can hear whether people are singing along. That's not what it's about. I want to encourage you to make that choice when we're together on Sunday mornings to join with us in worship, in whatever way that means for you, but joining with us, because something happens when we as a body choose to unify, to go before the King and say, this is about you. And guess what the word says? Where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is. His presence manifests in a unique way when we decide to go before him. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. And I love this again. He doesn't just say, sing for the sake of singing because it's a good idea and I am Paul and you should listen to what I say. He doesn't say that. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns. So this, again, comes back to full circle. That's what I try to do when I speak. We're bringing it back. Full circle. The inner life produces a physical response. Let that truth dwell inside of you. And then we're going to sing together. We're going to respond to that truth. We're going to let it come out. So, worship connects us to the head. It shows us how to live. It unifies us with other believers. And then fourth, and I'm almost done, because we're going to worship today to end. Worship takes spiritual ground in our own lives and others' lives as well. In 2 Chronicles 20, 18 through 22, bear with me, this is a longer passage. It's a great story, though. It says, then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites from the clans of Kohath and Korah stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed. After consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his splendor. This is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. At the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. Moral of the story is, after that, well, not moral of the story. What happens is, they win. The moral of the story is that worship is a weapon as well in our lives. When we begin to proclaim God's greatness, when we begin to connect with him and remind ourselves of the truth, when we begin to let ourselves be transformed from the inside and then let it exude out of our outsides, it reminds us of our dependence on him. Worship becomes that weapon. Battles are fought that you might not even be aware of. Things are happening in the spiritual realm when we do that. And coming from experience, for me, when I'm going through a tough time in life, not just from my own perspective, to remind myself of the truth, I worship as a weapon. I worship because I need to take some ground in my life, or I need to take some ground in someone else's life, and I'm gonna worship as part of, you know, my toolkit. So like I said, battles are fought that you might not even be aware of. And why? Because worship puts the focus on God rather than ourselves. And that is my last point this morning. Worship puts the focus on God rather than ourselves. It intentionally puts our eyes on him. It reminds us of that dependence. It reminds us just of how much we really need him. We sang that earlier today. Jesus, I need you. Every moment, I need you. It puts us in a place where instead of worrying about what's going on here in our own circumstances, that we remind ourselves that God is bigger than those circumstances. And actively, what we do in that moment is we actively pursue connection with him, the God that is doing those things. As we do that, not only do we glorify God, but it helps us to keep our eyes on him through the difficulty. And that really is why worship is such a choice. Because I realize, and it breaks my heart sometimes on Sunday mornings, to think about what people are coming into Sunday morning from. What kind of difficulty they might be coming out of. What sort of a challenge they might be going through. And I understand that we're all going through some sort of a battle that maybe other people have no idea is going on. But this is where the challenge comes. Hear me out. I love you. I'm so sorry. I'm praying that we know those circumstances change. But ultimately, I want to challenge you this morning as kind of the cool uncle. I'm not the father. Pastor Craig, he's I feel like the dad of the church. I'm the cool uncle, okay? So as the cool uncle, I want to challenge you this morning. Hopefully you know that I love you, because I certainly do. But I want to challenge you this morning that regardless of what you might be facing in your lives, how distracting that might be, to choose to worship, to choose the thoughts that say to give him glory, that choose the truth. Again, full circle. When we do that, when we choose to step in and say, God, I'm so distracted. You know, this is happening in my kids' lives, or I need you to come through for this payment, or, you know, whatever. You know, there's all these different things going on that really could steal away from my experience with you this morning. I'm going to choose to step in, though, just the same, and choose to worship you. Something happens. We are changed from the inside when we do that. When we're reminded of that truth, when we encounter a God that loves us so much, we're changed. We become more like him. We grow to be more like him. And we remind ourselves that though my circumstances might not change, God, you are still good. You're worthy to be praised. You're faithful. You've never let me down before. You've never let me alone before. And so though this might be happening in my life, God, you're good. And I'm choosing to dwell on that.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us CasperFaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.